T-minus 73. Cavalieri Observatory, Trento, Italy. In the past few weeks, during which Timo Fiori had been living in his flagship Cavalieri Observatory, the philanthropic billionaire had received precisely one piece of good news. This had come from his close friend Billy Kendrick, whose extensive network of Mediterranean dig sites had already begun to bear fruit. The news that a monolithic pillar had been discovered at Billy's highest priority site in Turkey was a welcome respite from a months-long period of frustration in Timo's life, with global politics preventing Fiori Frontieri, the corporation often spoken of as his private space program and his primary focus by far, from engaging in any meaningful research and development. Many casual observers may have assumed that Timo would be pleased by Dan McCarthy's announcement of a new interspace contact agency, one which would be free from the bureaucracy that stifled Unica and thus finally free to study the as-yet inexplicable shortcut that enabled rapid travel between Earth and a planet that conventional physics suggested should have taken years to reach. Like analyzing the messenger's ability to cloak themselves and their vehicles, this certainly appealed to Timo's curious side. He was more hesitant about any reverse engineering of the extraterrestrial uplifter device, given the remarkable powers it could grant, but felt it necessary to defensively participate in what could become something of a psychic arms race. This was why Timo had authorized his right-hand man, Alessandro Bonucci, to track down the only direct contactee who would plausibly be open to undergoing close study if the money was right. In his mind, having access to a man who had reported hearing alien voices was less of an insurance policy than a worthwhile roll of the dice, particularly at a time when he felt like anything was worth trying. Billy's news had come immediately after Timo sent Alessandro on that recruitment mission, and the intervening day and a half had brought no further update. When Timo retired to the sofa bed in his office, a room which had been occupied for each of the last 20-something days, having previously often gone weeks without being unlocked, he did so only after a patient wait until the early hours. A watched phone never rings, he mused in defeat when 2 a.m. arrived, and he's hardly going to call this late. Exhausted from recent stresses and contingency planning, Timo was deeply asleep within minutes. This rest was so welcome, in fact, that when his phone rang suddenly and startled him awake, he reacted with a groan rather than an excited lurch towards it. But when his mind came back to life and his eyes caught sight of a Turkish flag on the screen as the handset vibrated rhythmically, a smile shot across Timo's face as quickly as he shot across the room. "Billy," he beamed. "So, what were the carvings? Tell me everything." But the voice that replied was not Billy Kendrick's, and the rapid words it spoke were not in English. Timo's cosmopolitan upbringing saw to it that he was fluent in several languages, but unfortunately Turkish was not one of them. To no avail, he asked the man on the other end of the line to pass the phone to someone else, or at least slow down so he could attempt to catch some of the words. The relentless syllabic inundation continued, however, ultimately leading Timo to wisely remain quiet and let his phone's automatic call recording feature do its thing without his own voice getting in the way. During the remaining 40 seconds of the one-way conversation, Timo began to think that the caller might have had a good shot at breaking some kind of speed-talking world record if he set his mind to it. The pace was such that Timo could discern almost nothing in the unfamiliar language, not even names or places. But the man's urgent pace and hushed tone needed no translation, unsettling Timo far more than the fact that this man had somehow gotten hold of his private and well-protected phone number. When the call abruptly ended, Timo rubbed his face and thought for a few seconds before jumping back into yesterday's clothes. He then sprinted out of his office towards the observatory's main analysis room. The site had been staffed round the clock ever since Alessandro discovered the incoming comet Il Diavolo during a late shift, and this current moment proved the first time since then that anyone's middle-of-the-night presence had truly been needed. The three on-duty astronomers all turned uneasily towards the room's door when they heard someone running towards it in the previously silent corridor, and while Timo's appearance eased their natural fears, it raised as many questions as it answered. "Do any of you speak Turkish?" he panted, holding out his phone and trying to catch his breath. "I think Billy's in trouble."